Good morning, historians from around the internet. You're here at the Old History Podcast, which is in turn part of the Old History Social Media Project, which is a Facebook page, YouTube channel, and a podcast, as well as possibly other things. Not much has been done on the book. I've been working on other things like metal detecting permissions for me and Chris. I've probably got a really interesting one, but the owner doesn't want anything shared about it because there's a house on the property. It is not here in Morristown. It's not in Hawkins County. I'm not going to tell anybody where it is. All right, so I hope everybody's had a great week. Let's dive right into this podcast. It's going to be about Daniel Boone. All right, Daniel Boone. No, not Fez Parker's Daniel Boone. There's a lot to go over about Daniel Boone, but a lot of it, a lot of the stories about him came up after he died because he was such a legendary man. According to some people from that time period, they probably even thought that he put the sun in the sky. There's lots of stories go on about Daniel Boone. So he was born November 2nd, 1734, and one of the first folk heroes in American legends. Now sometimes his birth date is given as an October date because his family used the outdated calendar. Also because the Gregorian calendar was adopted during his lifetime, November 2nd is the date normally given anyway. He was born to Squire and Sarah Boone, who were Quakers. And in his youth, Daniel loved wandering around in the woods with the cows and other animals, as the outdoors really fascinated him. He spent a lot of his younger days studying small birds and game, which he hunted with a homemade herdsman's club. About the time he turned 10, 11, 12, he started begging his dad for a rifle. And soon after, he became an expert marksman. And by the time he was 13, he provided a steady supply of fresh game for the family's meals. Now, he didn't attend school, but later on, he was taught by his older brother's wife how to read and write. Well, he mastered the basics. His grammar and spelling were pretty poor. Could sign his name, though, which set him apart and made him a little bit better than the other frontiersmen. A little later on, around the 1750s, the Boones would move down to the Yadkin Valley in North Carolina. And this is where a lot of the source... A lot of the tall tales around the colonies of Daniel Boone begin. So in the mid-1750s, Boone joined General Braddock at Fort DeQuincy, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, in an attempt to capture it during the French and Indian War. However, an ambush destroyed Braddock's command and Daniel would flee for his life. You've got to remember about the French and Indian War that at this time the colonies hadn't yet won their independence. So the colonies, at least for the most part, fought for England, and the native people fought with France. About 10 years later, I know I'm skipping a lot in his life here because there's a lot to go over. It's a lot of it's documented, but if I spent some time going over every detail, we'd be here for an hour. About 10 years later, 1767, Daniel Boone would venture into Kentucky on a hunting expedition. He, John Finley, and a few others set out and crossed through the Appalachian Mountains through the Cumberland Gap. At this time, few white men had dared to cross the mountains, specifically because that was key hunting territory of the Shawnee. Boone and his men built a base camp near what is now Irvine, Kentucky. Irvine, however y'all pronounce it up there. He spent several months hunting and exploring the great wilderness up there. Now, the Shawnee would capture Boone's hunting party and about several months into the expedition. As earlier stated, they claimed the area as their hunting ground to believe anything caught there belonged to them. I believe this was before the Treaty of the Long Island of Holston, this was even before the Washington District bought the all the land on this side of the Mississippi, or between Mississippi and the mountains. So anyway, the Shawnee took the men's supplies, their deer skins. Now later on, Boone escaped and returned home in March of 1771 and did not have a thing. Didn't even have a dime. So in 1773, after he got a little bit more funding, he tried again to begin a trip through the mountains, but attacks by the Indians halted this motion. Again, in early 1775, Daniel was hired by a close friend to cut a trail to Kentucky. Now, this is probably one of his most famous tales. He left the Long Island of the Holston and led the 28 Companions, which consisted mostly of axemen, through most of Upper East Tennessee and across the Cumberland Gap, blazing what everybody knows of now as the Wilderness Road, eventually reaching the Kentucky River and establishing Boone Station, though later this would be known as Boonesboro, by April 1775. In July of 1776, a native raid captured Boone's daughter Jemima and two of her friends. Boone quickly staged an ambush and rescued the girls. Couple years later, he was captured by the Shawnee in 1778. Now, they were impressed very highly with Boone's scouting and hunting skills. The Shawnee chief adopted Boone as one of his own, and Boone lived among the Shawnee for 4 months before escaping and returning to Boonesboro. 1798, Boone would lose all of his lands to title errors and lawsuits, and he would move out to Missouri, which then was known as Upper Louisiana. The Spanish authorities were really eager to have settlers in that area, and they granted Daniel Boone about 850 acres in the Femme-Osage District, which is now part of St. Charles County. He was made a commandant or syndic of the Femme-Osage District, and as a syndic, Boone settled disputes that arose among the area settlers. He became famous for holding court under a large tree on his son Nathan's land. This tree would come to be known of as the Judgment Tree. He was a very respected community leader there and would be later appointed to a justice of that district. Now, it appears to me that Daniel Boone had a life of bad luck, because in 1804 he lost all of his land after Spain sold the land to France, and then France sold it to the United States. He tried to volunteer for the War of 1812, but was denied because he was so old. His final years were spent living a quiet life on land that his family secured. He would pass away on September 26, 1820, at the ripe old age of 85, at his son Nathan's home. These are but a few tales from the life and times of Daniel Boone, and I hope you enjoyed it. Maybe you learned a little something today. Lots of people still hold Daniel Boone in a pretty high regard, and even today, you still hear people talking about some of the stuff that he did, asking questions about it, almost the same way as Davy Crockett is. But that being said, just keep in mind that after he died, he became more famous than he is because of all the legends that circulated around him, especially between the colonies and New England. So we'll cut it off there for today. I hope everybody has a great day and a great rest of the weekend. Catch you next time here on Old History.